just the process of sitting in stillness and observing that your mind is wandering and coming back, when you keep returning back to the place of stillness, that is meditation. Like, free yourself from the judgment of, I'm not doing it right, I'm not clearing my mind.
Hey, hey, hey! It's another week. It's another Atomic Moms. Today's episode is with my girlfriend, Teresa Palmer. I always say Teresa, but she says it Teresa, so I'm going to work on that. And Teresa Palmer and I spent a day with Oprah. Okay, Oprah was on stage, and we were in the audience, but we went to Oprah Winfrey's Super Soul Sessions. And it was a day-long event with thought leaders, change makers, and wisdom teachers. That's what it says on the form, and it's true. So we got to hear Caroline Miss speak. She is the author of Anatomy of the Spirit. We heard Cheryl Strayed, who blew my mind. She also ripped out my heart when I read her memoir, Wild. We heard and saw Eckhart Tolle, the author of The Power of Now and A New Earth. We saw Chris Carr, the author and creator of the Crazy Sexy Cancer documentary. And, of course, Dr. Shefali Sabari. And so in this episode, I don't talk about Dr. Shefali because I'm dedicating an upcoming episode to her new book that's coming out, The Awakened Family. I'm staring at a copy of it right now. That's a brag. Because it's not available yet. I am such a geek and I get really excited and my ego really flares up in a delicious way when I get a galley copy. So, but Dr. Shefali spoke and honestly, she stole the day. Oprah kept repeating how she is her favorite parenting expert. And so I'm dedicating an upcoming episode to the Awakened Family. So for now, we'll talk about everybody else. Again, my girlfriend, Teresa, will be sitting with me. You know, listening to the episode, I was like, God, I kind of really put her on the spot there by being like, hey, tell us all the movies you just did. I think sometimes I'm a little flippant about my friend's work, maybe because if I like really sat and thought about it, I'd be intimidated, or it just is so crazy to think that she's done this much work in such a short period of time. And we bring it up because we're talking about how she's going to slow down a little bit for her family. So this is a fun, silly episode. We give you our big takeaways from our day of Oprah, what we found inspiring, what was memorable, all the egoic flare-ups I had. and we also talk a little bit about the paparazzi. So it's like a girlfriend episode / celebrity episode / spirituality episode. And I think you guys will enjoy it. We'll be right back. Atomic Moms is a weekly parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our little ones and ourselves. I'm Ellie Noss, a toddler wrangler to my 2.5-year-old Sabrina, and each week I interview parenting experts, celebrities, New York Times bestselling authors, and caregivers all over the world in order to share their unique stories in this universal experience of raising a child.
Check. 1, 2. Yo, yo, yo. Check it.
Okay, everybody. We're just going to jump right in with Teresa Palmer. How many movies have come out in the past 6 months for you?
I've had 6 come out. I've had 6. I mean, 6 not all quality 6. I've had maybe 3 good quality, 3.
Okay, what are the ones that our listeners have seen or are going to see?
Well, some people saw The Choice.
That is Nicholas Sparks.
Nicholas Sparks one. The Terrence Malick movie, which was It's insane. It is like not an actual movie. It's an experience. Like it is a spiritual experience. I feel like Malick makes movies like that, and that movie is definitely like that. And then I did another one called Triple Nine, which is like a cop heist thriller. It's pretty cool. It's very violent. But it's good. Don't bring your kids.
Well, one of the reasons why I'm asking you this is because I want our listeners to know that you have been shooting. I mean, how many countries were you in last year?
Well, I go by Bodhi's passport, and I think he has 17 passport stamps, and he just turned two. So I've done, in the last 2 years, I've done 9 films, and so now I'm doing 0 films this year.
So we're going to, this is one of our main topics today is going to be about the year of no.
Yeah.
And about choosing our family first and figuring out how to balance it all. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to talk about that. I want to jump into another topic that's a little tacky. I want to talk about paparazzi.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to brag to our listeners. Guys, I have now been captured in a tabloid photo. I am so big time. Okay, it doesn't really matter that I'm cut out of the photo.
Are you actually? Did you see it?
My bottom is in a tabloid photo.
My ass is captured.
I am in the Daily Mail. It is of my butt. So let's share this story first because nothing makes me happier than the fact that I was in a tabloid and that it's of my ass because we were on a play date.
It is a beautiful ass though, Ellie, so you should be proud.
We were on a play date. We left the little play place. Mm-hmm. A person was walking a dog. And so you stopped with Bodhi, your son, to say hi to the dog. Mm-hmm. And so then Sabrina did too. And so in the picture, I'm leaning over. So it's my butt with... You and your son are what are captured. And so I'm leaning over, so you just see my butt. But that was so weird because I've never had the experience, obviously, because no one's following me, except in all my nightmares, that that we kept walking along and then we saw the guy with the camera.
Mm-hmm. That's
sneaky. I mean, it was so far away.
Yeah.
It was like a football field away.
Yeah, it's funny. I think their first tactic is to remain hidden so that they just capture you in organic moments. But I'm so used to them being there that I now can tell. You see like a little window down of a car and you see like just the camera kind of slip through the window. And then once they've been noticed, they become really bold and they'll get out of the car, they'll walk straight in front of you. Like the other day I was walking down the street with my stepson, Isaac, who's old enough to know that there are people taking our photo, and my little son, Bodhi, and we saw the paparazzi. And I remember Isaac when he was 5 and 6, it made him really nervous. But now we were like giving the thumbs up, we're like, woo, woo. And the paparazzi, some of them are really lovely. This guy was having a laugh and he said, thank you so much, Teresa. But then some of them can be really intense and they won't speak to you. They won't make eye contact. They jump in front of you. They follow you in cars. I mean, it's bizarre, especially when you're a mother and you're trying to, you know, your instinct is to protect your children. And I don't want them to see the world as a scary place. And sometimes they can be really scary, these guys.
It was such a crazy energy shift. Like when we saw him, I tensed up so much.
Yeah.
And I was like, is there something I can do? And I wanted to like, I felt like violence within me.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm excited. My butt's in the photo. But I was at that moment, I was like, this is a violation. Like here we are with our kids. I had no idea. Usually like, you know, when you're being watched.
Yeah.
And this idea that you're discovering that you're being watched. And I didn't realize that the camera lens can go that far.
That's right.
And I think a lot of people, when they look at the magazines, they're like, yeah, okay, they're on the beach. They must know that their photo is being taken.
Yeah.
Or like if they looked around, they would see. But that's not true. It's so far away.
There's one in the Daily Mail today of me and Mark and Bodhi and Isaac. And it looks like Mark is staring directly at the camera. And we were just saying this morning, like, we didn't see anyone. We did not see anyone. They're really sneaky. And you know, what I decided was when it started happening, it really started to amp up after I was pregnant with Bodhi. and I had had a film come out, I realized like I cannot let this aspect of my life affect the way I interact with my children and the activities I do. I'm not going to hide out. I'm not going to be a hermit. I'm still going to go out. And I don't wear makeup. I don't put on designer clothes. It's so not my way. And thankfully, the media has celebrated that side of me. They always are saying makeup free, Teresa Palmer, natural mama. And at first, I think I got a lot of backlash because I was just looking like a mom.
But now they like it. Where did you get the backlash? From the media or from commenters?
Commenters usually. Well, initially it was the media, and then the media jumped on this whole bandwagon of, you know, natural mamahood. And so that's been great. And it also takes the pressure off me. I don't have to go out looking like a Kardashian, having like full makeup and hair done every day. Like I just get to be myself and I'm not really that affected. And
Have you ever had a moment where you were concerned about like Bodhi's reaction to something? Or because when we were leaving, you were able to get in your car quickly, and there were no issues. Sabrina, on the other hand, was a disaster. And I had to spend 20 minutes in the back seat with her. Since then, this has been solved. I promise, guys, I won't talk about Sabrina in the car seat again. Last week's episode, I mentioned it because I had recorded it previously. So people think this is ongoing forever. I actually have figured it out. It's good now. But at that time, it was rough. And I was like, oh, my God, if the paparazzi were here for me, they'd have so many amazing pictures where it looks like I'm wrestling my child.
Well, it's really unfortunate. Sometimes you'll see on those tabloid magazines, like, worst mom ever. And, like, the kid's crying and the celebrity's trying to wrangle the child in the car and they're like, this is horrible. I've definitely recently had I knew my photo was being taken as I was trying to negotiate with Bodhi when we're leaving a place and he really desperately wanted to stay. I've had that and I knew it was getting photographed, but it just has to be water off a duck's back. I mean, you just have to not care about other people's judgments or opinions and just be present with your children. And that's what I try and do.
There was a recent photo of you breastfeeding in public. Mm-hmm. And what did they say about that?
Yeah, it was funny. I was out the front of Cafe Gratitude in LA where they all hang out there, all the paparazzi, but I don't care. It's my favorite restaurant, so I'm going to go there 4 times a week. And I was breastfeeding, as you do when your child wants to breastfeed. My son was 13 months old at the time. And apparently became this huge thing in Australia, actually. They did a big news program on the fact that I was publicly breastfeeding, and they had commenters like ring in and talk about it, and there was a debate. 50% of people said it was okay, 50% of people were very judgmental. In fact, the articles were discussing how I was standing. They were like, she's standing breastfeeding.
Yeah, and the photo looks kind of like, it looks like you're walking.
Yeah, and it's like, how can she be walking and breastfeeding? I mean, you breastfeed any time, any moment you need to meet your child's needs. And I'm really not caring about anyone else's reactions. And they just so happen to be a paparazzi. And I'm okay with that. But yeah, they made a big deal out of it, which is quite unfortunate. And I just think until the conversation of breastfeeding in public, until that fails to be a conversation, it's going to cause controversy in some way. I mean, I'm actually shocked that we're still talking about breastfeeding in public. It's such a bizarre thing. It's a really natural thing. And I also think that a lot of new mums who are just trying to find their feet with breastfeeding can feel really discouraged about the level of judgment placed on mums who decide to breastfeed publicly. So I just hope people stop talking about it soon and just let it be what it is.
We got to go on a date on Saturday.
It was a good date.
It was a good date.
It was one of my best dates.
It was a really good date. We had a great date together. And a long date.
By the way, I took you out, remember? You forgot your purse.
Oh, my God. No, I brought my purse. I brought my wallet, right? Yeah, I was such a child. We were paying for parking, and I was like, well, you got this one, and I hope they don't ask for our IDs at the door. We went to, you guys all know that I'm obsessed with Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. And that's how Dr. Shefali came into our lives. And they were doing a full day event called Super Soul 2. And it's going to be on their online channel, I think, soon. And so it was an incredible list of speakers. And a few of them brought up the topic of, you know, this loss of anonymity. And it was so interesting sitting next to you. You were anonymous there, which was really interesting and nice. Like people, we were we had lunch. Everyone got these boxed lunches. And so we sat down. When Teresa went to get lemonade, one of the women, she was older, she asked the girl next to me, "Are you an actress? You look familiar."
It was really nice. Yeah, we got to be anonymous.
Except that we were sitting then, we got to be seat fillers, which that was also amazing,
by the way. Like Ellie's, when she was in her egoic self.
I was like, we're in the back row.
I was like, don't worry, Eckhart Tolle is going to come out and fix this for us. And then sure enough.
We got summoned to be seat filler.
Then, by the way, Ellie was so paranoid the entire show. Yeah. Anyone would walk down the aisle, she was like, oh my God, they're going to take the seats.
They're going to take our seats. Because we kept watching other people getting kicked out of their seats because the people would show up with their tickets. So I was so concerned.
She was like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It doesn't
even matter.
Thank you, universe.
But then we're feeling great and anonymous, except the camera keeps coming around because this is for, this is going to be a television program. And so they want the reaction shots, right? Yeah. And so because we're next to the aisle, they kept coming over to us. And I felt such a need to perform. And
We both did. Like we'd be laughing and then the camera would come up and then all of a sudden the tears would start welling in the back of my eyes. I'd look over at you and you're like nodding and smiling.
I was like putting on my listening face. Except the really embarrassing thing, I hope they don't choose it. One of the speakers said one of our favorite quotes, "And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to bloom." Okay, I love this quote. I have shared it over the years many times, and unfortunately the words didn't come to me, but the camera came to me. And so I'm like trying to mutter the words, but I'm getting the wrong words out. And so I really hope they don't have me misquoting.
That's amazing.
They're going to be like, is this for...
saying the wrong words. Judge you,
they're totally going to judge me. It's like when people sing songs and I always have the wrong words to songs.
Yeah, me too. But that's endearing and beautiful and real.
So yeah, sure. Cool. So Kerry Washington talked about the loss of anonymity a lot.
She did, yeah. It was really interesting.
What was your big takeaway from the event?
Gosh, I was like a sponge that day. I was just sucking up all this wisdom. I really felt like I was in school, like spirituality school. I took away a lot of different things. I was mostly excited to see Eckhart Tolle, which we heard it's Tolle, not Eckhart Tolle.
Oh, yes.
I was most excited to see him, but it's so funny because Eckhart, I've been listening to his work.
It's your own, like, first name.
Me and Ecky, me and the ex. I've been listening to him a lot recently, but I usually do it before bed, just like in bed. I'll like go on to his website and I like download his all his videos. And they put me in such a hypnotic state that I noticed it was happening to the audience too. Like he would come on and he's literally talking about the most in-depth wisdom you could possibly imagine. I mean, he is the spiritual guru, and people were just zoning out because his voice is so hypnotic.
And it was 3:30 and we all got there like 7:30 in the morning. Yeah. So there's an energy. But he like, you think, yeah, he puts us
put
in that spot.
Put people in a meditative space, yes, which is really beautiful to kind of end that way. I really took to Dr. Shefali, as we all know, and India Ari, I thought was so incredible. And for me, everyone kind of had a similar theme, I think, which was cultivating that self-love. And it was really, really beautiful and something that I can resonate with, and just we are important and we are enough just because we exist. And I thought that was just a really beautiful message, because people have so much self-doubt, and I could feel the energy in the room shifting when we were talking about just empowering ourselves and loving ourselves. And there was like a high vibration in the room when we were talking about that. And I just thought it was so beautiful.
I think those are the themes that come up again and again and again for me. And I'll never forget when I was talking to Arianna Huffington about my tumor experience. And I said, you know, when you're sitting on the couch for months on end and you can't walk and you can't drive, I was so used to striving and I'm so used to trying to earn my worth. And that experience showed me that I was loved and lovable, even though I couldn't go out and get anything done. That I was enough just for existing.
Yeah.
We are worthy of love just for being alive. And because of that, she asked me to start writing for the Huffington Post. And that theme, man, it's one that I will struggle with probably till the end of my life. It seems like a lot of the speakers, you know, that's what they've learned as well, especially ones that have become so famous. And they realize, like, it's not enough. That they were enough at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
That they didn't get it from the external validation, that it was about turning inward. And they also admit that it's a daily practice.
Yeah,
it's really easy to get sucked back in because we were all taught that when we were little.
It's not place judgment on yourself too when you can't truly be in the now and really celebrating yourself. I think it's just, you fly away from that and then you observe what you're doing and then you just come back to that place again. And they say that with meditation too. I used to always judge myself about, I was like, I can't meditate. I keep thinking about this, isn't that? Like, just the process of sitting in stillness and observing that your mind is wandering and coming back, when you keep returning back to the place of stillness, that is meditation. Like, free yourself from the judgment of, I'm not doing it right. I'm not clearing my mind. I mean, it was so beautiful. Actually, Ellie and I took 1,000 notes.
And whenever the camera would come around, I'd try to hide my notes because it looks like a serial killer, like, mapped out my notes. There's a lot of strong symbols, I would say. There's like
the
arrows.
Going at like different directions.
Like there's like underlining. There's, these like big black arrows. I ran out of pages. I had to start writing on like the ads. Like on the ads are all these like meaningful quotes. Like you can step up and out of the shame.
I liked India's shadows make you whole. I thought that was beautiful. Like our shadows make us whole. I thought that was so beautiful. And the other thing I really liked, I just want to say, Eckhart Tolle said this incredible thing and I have to work on this. He said, when you meet a person, have the interaction without the interpretation. So I often meet someone and as I'm in their presence, I'm like, oh, this person seems like this, or oh, this is what they're like. Oh, this is the type of person they are. Da, da, da. And then I'll go and have my commentary with my husband or my friend. Like, what did you think of this? Is what I think. She might be going through this. Like, that is not just being present and having an interaction with a person without overanalyzing. I thought
we're
so beautiful.
Constantly labeling everything. Like,
not
only our experiences of this is good or this is bad, but also, other people are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad you brought that up because that was a huge. That's such a big thing that I need to remember on a daily basis because we are in a constant state of judgment. And what I loved that he said regarding that is he said that people will say, well, what did you think about that person? And he'll be like, well, I don't know.
He's like, I had a pleasant interaction.
Yeah. That's I had an interaction with this person because he doesn't actually have like a judgment or a label for them. He's like, I can come back with something for you.
Yeah.
But when have we ever done that?
I know. It's like such a beautiful. I feel like my notes is like the most exciting thing in my life right now because I'm constantly going over them.
And that would be so good with the babies too, though. The idea that like when we see our children, can we when Sabrina comes home from the park after this talk, can I take all of her in and not be sort of like judging, well, did she have a good time? And how is she doing?
Happy?
Does she seem happy? Or we're constantly saying like, oh, our kid is this type of child.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, what if we let all of that drop away?
Do you know what I was thinking as well? If I can just mention this, because I know you've had some issues with health. And one of my favorite authors, Caroline Miss, I think that's how you pronounce her name. Mm-hmm. She said, and both Ellie and I were like, oh my gosh, when she said this. She said that when you have sickness, more often than not, it means that you haven't given birth to something creative.
Yep.
And Ellie and I were like, oh my goodness. I mean, it's so beautiful to see Ellie in her element now. Like, she's birthed this creative being in Atomic Mums, and it's such a beautiful platform. But it's so interesting. I really believe that too. Like, whenever I'm feeling off kilter, it's because I'm not leaning into my creative side.
Oh, man, those first 5 years in LA of trying to be an actor and sort of the frustration of not being able to fulfill what you think is your purpose and to not have those creative outlets. And once I found improv and I was able to start performing, you know, without having to be given permission to do it.
That's right.
That's when I started feeling better. Because what I really loved about what Caroline Miss also said, and she's the best-selling author of Anatomy of the Spirit, and she's a medical intuitive.
And the other thing she said, remember what she said about the when you have lost your energy in dwelling in your history, then that is affecting your present. And I thought that was so interesting because I heard that quote about how so much of like depression and feeling low stems from sitting in memories and the past and really dwelling in that. And then so much anxiety is about future tripping, as my meditation teacher calls it, future tripping. Like, what's going to happen in the future? That's where the anxiety stems from. But then it's in the present we find calm, and that's so beautiful. And I have to say, in the last month, I've been really trying to work on that, and I have seen radical changes in my life just in this past month in trying to harness my presence. So it's been really nice.
When Oprah came on stage and started speaking to Kerry Washington, another thing that they talked about was how Kerry Washington's overextending herself. And so her boss, Shonda Rhimes, who wrote the book The Year of Yes, actually texted Kerry Washington saying, you need to have the year of no. And when she said that on stage, you like hit me and you were like, that's what I'm doing this year.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about your year of no? And even just this past month that you were saying that you're leaning more into the calmness.
Yeah. Look, my life has been just hectic the last 2 years, and it's been beautiful. I mean, I've been leaning into the opportunities that have been coming my way. But at the end of last year, I really burnt out. I was doing two films at the same time as doing Mel Gibson's film Hacksaw Ridge, and it was like a war drama, so it was really intense. And then I was doing another film, which was about Stockholm Syndrome, equally as intense and just emotionally, I felt emotionally violated at the end of the year. And I had thrown myself so much into those films. Plus being a mama and a hands-on mama too, it was really hard and I was completely drained. So this year I just decided, against a lot of people's desires, mainly my agents and my managers, I just said I was done. Like, I am done with working. I need to have a year of no. I'm constantly saying yes, yes, yes to opportunities.
I don't know a bigger yeser than you. Like, I mean, I want to take a moment to say you do, but these things also, some of these things feed you. Like, I've also never met a more hands-on mother than you. And I don't understand how you do all of these films, and you're such a supportive wife and partner, and you also, you're with Bodhi all the time. But
that's also like I'm self-serving there because I want to be with him all the time. Like I don't feel like my no involves him.
Right.
We feed off of mm-hmm. each other's energy. We have a really beautiful bond. But you know what I wanted is I just wanted the simple life. Like I wanted things to be really simple and I wanted to be able to sleep in my own bed at night and wake up and take my son to preschool and come over and hang out with Ellie and Sabrina. And I wanted to do that instead of getting on a plane and traveling and answering to other people on a film set. So that's my year of no.
That must take so much courage because obviously you have so much momentum behind you.
Yeah, I've just had to give over to it. I mean, it's my deep intuition screaming for me to take time off, and I'm leaning into that. And what has been proven to me in my life is that whenever I lean into my authenticity, which is very much about what they were talking about at the Super Soul sessions, is when you see really remarkable results. And it was just screaming at me. It just said, you need to take a break. I want to get pregnant again. I want to like work on being a good wife and a mama and a stepmama, and I want to hold down the fort at my home. So that's what I'm doing.
Do you ever, Adam always fantasizes about moving to Montana. I think this is actually just a very human thing to do. I mean, you go back to Chekhov and it's like the three sisters want to move to Moscow. It's always like this idea that if I go somewhere else, then things will be different and things mm-hmm. will be better. Or for Adam, we move to Montana, things will be calmer.
Your problems follow you.
But they follow you wherever you are.
Yeah. It really is about like finding that inner stillness and aligning with that no matter where you are. I mean, I could feel calm and at peace anywhere in the world as long as I had my family. But yeah, I don't think it's so much an external thing like moving somewhere or taking mm-hmm. a certain job, or as it is just like tapping into that inner voice. And for me, it was take a bath, have time to have a bath, have time to read books and be with your son and go on play dates and just be home. And that was it. So it's been really lovely. I don't even feel like an actor. It's so nice. My agents don't call me. My managers don't call me. They know I'm off the books for a while.
If I were to think of one singular moment that I need to remember throughout the week is Chris Carr, who wrote Crazy Sexy Cancer,
and she's got
the documentary, and then she's got a book series, and it was so strange because we ended up sitting next to her husband and I was like
she kept talking to him being like you're the most zen man I've ever met, you're so chill.
It was so weird because I didn't know it was her husband. I just was, this man sitting next to me didn't fidget at all and he had his hand on his knee and his feet were planted firmly in the ground and he was just staring ahead and taking it all in. And so I kept kind of like, I could probably dropped my pen 50 times and it was like rolling down the seat aisle, you know, just mm-hmm. I was being me. That's my authentic,
that's your authentic self. And Chris Carr was, she was diagnosed with a really rare form of cancer, and there were so many tumors all over her liver.
And she's living and thriving with cancer now.
Yeah, she said she's not a cancer survivor. She's a cancer thriver. And I thought that was really cool. And she
and so her husband, we started talking to him because I was like, what kind of meditation do you do? And then he said Zen. And then you said, well, I've got your Zen life. And which everyone needs to go check out right now, yourzenlife.com. And so we were chatting and then he's like, well, I'm Chris Carr's husband.
And we're like, what? Like,
that's awesome.
We love it. We totally fangirled out, didn't we?
But the singular moment for me is she fell on stage. She tripped. There was a hole.
It was brilliant.
I don't know what it was. There must have been like a little hole on the stage. She'd been walking back and forth. She was so professional. I loved her presence.
And how she bounced back from that. I loved it.
It was such a happy accident.
She was like, don't do this. She was like, don't step in that hole right there. And everyone was laughing. She was so charming.
It was such a great moment of
realness.
Realness. Endearing. And it was just like that idea that, yeah, when we are human, that is when it's the best. India Arie, same thing. She said,
so human, by the way, so real.
Someone would yell like, we love you. And she'd go, oh, thank you so much. That makes this next part easier to say.
And she, you know, the other thing about her, I got to say, there was some who were really authentic and real and organic. There was like maybe one or two that were like, it was so over rehearsed. And I didn't enjoy those ones as much. Mm-hmm. However, with India, there were moments when she lost her words and she was struggling to find what she was trying to say. And people from the audience would be like, you got this, girl. You got this.
I know.
She was like, thank you. I mean, what a beautiful representation of real, which is what we all want to strive for in our life, I think. Oh, she was my favorite because of that.
Yep.
She was imperfect, and the imperfectness of her was what I celebrated.
And Cheryl Strayed was also a speaker, and she wrote the memoir Wild, and she's the host of Dear Sugar Radio podcast, and then also she's, you know, obviously written Dear Sugar for a long time.
Reese Witherspoon played
her. And Reese Witherspoon played her. Wow. She, I mean, if you've read her writing, you know that she's all about
truth.
The truth and honoring the light and the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I circled many times, I'm very almost violent in my note taking.
it really does look a little violent.
that's how I show my passion. She
the
says,
surrender.
This was so good. Don't let your dreams ruin your life.
Yeah.
Don't let your dreams ruin your life. And I think that is something I'm excited for all of you guys just to watch these episodes when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll figure out how that is. I don't know if it's going to be on their website streaming or if it's going to actually be on Super Soul, like on the OWN network. But don't let your dreams ruin your life. It made me so happy because it's
surrender.
It's this idea that, yeah, we
to
need
your mediocrity, she kept saying.
Yep. And, surrender to your own mediocrity because that goes back to my whole idea of like have a B+ year. Like, don't let not being perfect stop you from doing it. And man, it's a weekly struggle for me. Obviously, this podcast is far from perfect, but I can definitely go down those rabbit holes or with the introductions or whatever. I end up spending too much time. And then it's almost this moment of like, am I killing this thing accidentally? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it constantly becomes a struggle of sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can I get one out every week and have it be good enough, but not go so down the rabbit hole that I don't get any sleep or anything else done in my life?
Yeah.
And so that idea of a surrender to your own mediocrity, just like get it out there.
Yeah.
Like, get it out there.
Yeah.
And the idea of not paying attention to other people's metric of success. I mean, another huge theme that just keeps showing up.
Yeah, it's so true. It was amazing. I'm so glad you invited me, Ellie.
It was amazing. It was so much fun.
Such a life-changing event, truly.
And I wrote in my little notes that I'm so excited for when you're up there doing it.
Oh,
I know it's going to happen soon for you. Should we tell them?
Yeah.
Sure.
We don't know. Whatever. Let's do it. May as well.
Okay. Conscious Babes. So
we had an epiphany.
Well, you sent a picture to your husband of us.
Yeah.
That, again, love it. By the way, I want to take a moment to mention sort of you go to a spiritual event and before I go, I'm like, well, what am I going to wear? And I'm all like wigged out about how I don't have any smart casual clothes. I only own casual clothes. So I'm insecure about that, even though I'm going to a spiritual thing that should have nothing to do about looks, right?
Yeah.
Then we're sitting there. The camera keeps coming over to us. And it should be
we're performing like two actresses.
Performing.
The two actresses we are.
Performing, and I kept thinking about Inside the Actor Studio and what's his name from that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Bradley Cooper.
Oh,
they always show the clip of Bradley Cooper sitting in the audience and Inside the Actor Studio. And so every time the camera would come over, I was like, this is my Bradley Cooper moment. This will be when Ellie was sitting in the audience during Super Soul Sunday. Okay.
Oh my
God. So then we also take a picture. You took a picture of the two of us, right?
Yeah. Sent it to the Hubs.
Spiritual day.
Yeah.
But of course, we're both like, oh, I don't know if the angle's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. And what did he text back?
My husband was just like, oh my goodness. And he just wrote back, conscious babes. And they were like, yeah. Conscious babes. And then we're like, babes. Conscious babes. Conscious babes.
Conscious like, babes.
Why don't we should be conscious babes?
We should do something with this.
Let's just.
So then while Oprah's talking, I am rudely buying the domain.
Yeah. Conscious babes.
So we have consciousbabes.com.
So we're
building an empire.
We're building a spiritual empire.
We're reclaiming the babeness, we're appropriating the word babe.
Babe, that's right. And we're having a meeting on Friday to discuss the Many conscious babes. Oh, we're goofballs.
Okay.
Amazing.
Is there anything else to get off your chest right now?
Well, I thought it was really cool that Sabrina had a play date with Esmeralda Gosling.
Oh, yes.
They bumped into each other at the park.
They did. So now our sitter is going to just live at
She's
the park.
She's looking extra, extra pretty today, just in case she bumps into Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. Actually, I have another park story.
Yeah.
Oh,
Someone's
well.
Heading down the stairs. I think it's Daddy.
Daddy's heading down to a meeting. Okay. We're going to wish him the best of luck.
Have Daddy. Fun, Adam.
Have fun. Okay, listeners. I want to give my partner a hug. So we'll head out. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's really fun. I was really excited to come.
Listeners, y'all know the drill. Trust in your goodness. Live out your greatness. Rock on, Atomic Moms.
Yeah.